as we begin Rosh Chodesh Elul, of course, first and foremost, our mind should hopefully be on Minchos of Betshuva, ready preparations for the Yom HaNoraim. But this particular year, so we have an extra special schus, we have one extra mitzvah that's given to us to perform right before Rosh Hashanah of the end of the Shemitah year. We'll see whether that's actually true or not as we go on in the Shia, whether that's in fact when the mitzvah applies. And that is the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim. What the Torah tells us, we just read about yesterday, Miketz Sheva Shanim Taseh Shemitah, that at the end of the 7 years, so any loan, any debt that has not yet been paid is in fact cancelled by the Halacha, Shemitah's Ksafim, one is not obligated to pay back any loan. Not only is one not obligated, but the person, the malva, the lender, is not permitted to request a loan, or yigal such for Eilvi Yisachiv. So let's speak a little bit about the parameters of this mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim, and the very real issue that comes up in terms of practically speaking, a person owes me a lot of money, what do I do about it? There's any way whatsoever to, in a sense, circumvent this mitzvah, this halacha of Shemitah's Ksafim. So this issue of Shemitah's Ksafim, in terms of being a difficulty, just in terms of practically implementing this halacha, goes back already quite a few thousand years. Many of you are familiar with the famous takana, the takana of Prusbul that was instituted in the days of Hillel HaZokeh, going back to the period of Bayesheni. So let's take a look at the first of the Mamakomos and Maseches Gittin. Those who are learning Daf Yomi will remember this a couple of weeks ago. The Gemara in Gittin and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, commenting on a Mishnah that appears in the end of Maseches Shviyas. The first of the Mamakomos, Tanan Hossa, you learned the Mishnah, that Prusbul Eino Mishame. There's a concept called Prusbul, and we'll see in a moment to define precisely what Prusbul is. Prusbul is not subject to the halachas of Shemitah's Ksafim. If a person writes a Prusbul, so then he doesn't have to be concerned with this halacha of the debt being cancelled. Ze'echad min advarim shehizkin Hillel HaZokeh, this was one of the takanas of Hillel HaZokeh. She'ro'a sa'am she'nimnu'u milahavo ze'ezeh, va'ovro mashakosu batorah, hishomu l'cha pe'niyah dovim mivavcha b'liyal v'gomer. That Hillel read Parshas Re'eh, yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah we just read, that the Torah says that if a person doesn't lend money before Shemitah because he's afraid he's not going to get the money back, that in and of itself is an aveira, that is a chait, and the Torah goes out of its way to warn us, don't even think, don't even dream of acting in such a way. Don't do such a terrible thing to withhold the loan because you're afraid the Shemitah year is going to come. But the reality sets in, that's exactly what was happening. So Hillel looked around and he saw people were violating this issur. So Hillel came up with the following idea. He said, maybe we could make a way to, in a sense, circumvent Shemitah's Ksafim. Maybe we can set up a type of a system where Shemitah's Ksafim won't work, Shemitah's Ksafim won't take effect, and therefore people won't be violating this issur. So again, it's a little bit of a roundabout. Obviously the kavanah of the Torah was that Shemitah's Ksafim should take effect, that the loan should be cancelled, but since Lamaisa, people weren't observing the halacha, now we're in a worse predicament because people are violating this specific prohibition, so Hillel thought maybe we can come up with an aid, so we come up with a suggestion to, in a sense, get around the whole halacha of Shemitah's Ksafim altogether. So Amad Hiskin Prusbul, so Hillel instituted the concept of Prusbul. Vizel Gufashov Prusbul, what in the world is a Prusbul? So very simple document, we'll see if it's simple, we have a whole shiur ahead of us to try to figure out how simple or not simple it is. Mosrani lachem ploni dayanim shevemakom ploni shekolchov sheyesh leitzah ploni sheagvenu kozman sheeretzah. That is basically the text of a Prusbul. We'll take a look a little bit later on at some of the practical texts that we use today, but in a nutshell, that's basically what a Prusbul is all about. That the person writes that he is hereby handing over all of his loans, all of his debts to a Beis Din, to such and such Beis Din, and they will in effect collect the debts on my behalf. This is all that takes place. That is what a Prusbul is. What kind of a concept is Prusbul? What a strange idea, Prusbul. So it's not such a strange idea, because there is already a Torah basis for Prusbul, a little bit, namely the principle what's called Moseh Shtarosef LeBeis Din. The Gemara tells us that before Rosh Hashanah, if a person really comes with his documents and walks up with the Beis Din and says, here are my documents, I don't want to be bothered, I'm putting you, you're my new collection agency. So technically speaking, Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't apply. Shemitah's Ksafim means that you as an individual cannot collect your debts, but if Beis Din is acting on your behalf, so then Shemitah's Ksafim wouldn't apply min HaTorah. But that's not exactly what Hillel instituted. Hillel instituted that rather than actually handing over the documents to Beis Din, which would be a very tedious procedure for everybody involved, Hillel said what you do is you write another document called the Prusbul, in which you in a sense symbolically hand over the debts. You didn't practically hand it over, and we all know that after Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to be Beis Din knocking on the door of the lover, of the borrower. It's going to be you. It's going to be the malva, the lender himself. Nevertheless, Hillel said that, midrabbanan, we're going to view this like as if the debt was handed over to Beis Din, and we're going to, in effect, circumvent the entire halacha Shemitas Kesafim. So this was Hillel's innovation, and again, what prompted him to do this was because he was bothered, otherwise people were violating the Isser of Shemitas Kesafim. So the Gemara is bothered with a very serious question. We'll take a look a little bit later on, just at the end of that line. Umikami, the end of the third line, how could it be to be the araisa mashamta shviyas, the hiskin hill of the lamashamta, that mina Torah, there's a mitzvah shvitas ksafim, we just read in Pashas Re yesterday, and Hillel came and said, no, it's okay, you don't have to observe the halacha, you don't have to observe the din in HaTorah. How can that be? Hillel doesn't have the authority to abolish a din in the Chumash itself. So the Gemara says, you're right, that if Shemitah's Ksafim would have been min HaTorah, Hillel would not have had the authority to institute Prusbul. How did Prusbul get off the ground? Concludes the Gemara, Amr Abaye, Bishviyas Bizman Hazeh. We're talking about Shemitah today, namely post the time, at least the way most of the Rishonim understand, post the time when Yovel doesn't apply. We know that there's basically a package deal. There's Shemitah, there's Yovel, it's all one big series of halachos. And Rebbe was of the opinion, with a somewhat complicated drasha, but Rebbe was of the opinion that whenever Yovel doesn't apply, then Shemitah doesn't apply as well, at least on a level of the Torah law. And since Yovel doesn't apply for technical halachic reasons, Bizman Hazeh, therefore the halach of Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't apply as well. In one fell swoop, what the Gemara just tells us is that the only reason, the only authority that Hillel had to institute Prusbul is only because we're dealing with the Din Derabbanan in the first place, because the whole Shemitah's Ksafim is on a Din Derabbanan. If Shemitah's Ksafim would have been min HaTorah, like in the good old days, or Meheri Ban HaMikdash, we're going to go back to having Shemitah's Ksafim min HaTorah, once Yovel emerges again min HaTorah, then you can throw out all your Prusbuls, there would be no, Prusbuls will have not, no effect whatsoever. Prusbul only is effective because Shemitah's Ksafim is min Derabbanan. This is the first answer that's given in the Gemara. There is a question in the Rishonim, we're not going to get into the details of the question right now, there is a question in the Rishonim, is there any other answer to this question? There is a statement of Rava, somewhat cryptic statement of Rava towards the end of the Sugya that different Rishonim interpret in different ways. For our purposes, it's not so critical because we are stuck in a sense with Shemitah's Ksafim Derabbanan. We assume that Shemitah's Ksafim is Derabbanan, so we're still safe discussing Prusbul. What will be the din of Meheri Yaban HaMikdash when Prusbul and Shemitah will be there? So that will depend on how you read the conclusion of the Gemara about Rava. But at least for our purposes right now, Shemitah is only the Derabbanan, Shemitah's Ksafim is Derabbanan, and therefore Prusbul works. So the Rambam writes this way explicitly. The Rambam in the second of the Mamakomos paraphrases the Gemara in the Rambam in the Shemitah B'Yovel per Tes Alocha Beis. The Rambam writes, Ein Shemitah's Ksafim Noheges Min HaTorah Ela Bizman Sha'Yovel Noeg, that the Shemitah's Ksafim only applies mid the araisa at a time in Yovel is Noeg. She'esham Shemitah's Karka Shrei Yoshev HaKarka Labayla Below Kesef, that the only time that Shemitah's Ksafim applies is when the whole halachas of returning land during the Yovel year apply. V'dover zeh kabalu, this is a tradition that we have at Tosh Shabbat. Amru chachamim v'zman shetam mishamet karka, only at a time when land goes back at the Yovel year, atamash b'ksafim b'chol mokom b'im ba'oretz b'im b'chutz l'oretz, v'zman she'ein sham Shemitah's karka, Shemitah's Ksar karka, the Rambam is not referring to working in the Shemitah year, he's referring to land being returned during the Yovel year. Ein atamash So the whole halacha Shemitah's Ksafim, the Rambam is following in the footsteps of Abaye, is only midirabbanan, or at least not midaraisa yet. Now in halacha Gimel, midivrei sofrim shetei Shemitah's Ksafim uheges bezman hazeh bechol makom. Nevertheless, midirabbanan, the Chachamim instituted Shemitah's Ksafim. Afa pi she'ena yovel noeg kidei shelo tishtakach Torah Shemitah's Ksafim meYisrael. The people shouldn't forget this mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim. Therefore, we have this mitzvah today. It's only midirabbanan, and therefore the opportunity for Prusbul exists. Notwithstanding the simple reading of the Gemara and the clear-cut psak of the Rambam, that Shemitah's Ksafim does exist today, albeit midirabbanan, there are some Rishonim of the opinion that not only is Shemitah's Ksafim not min HaTorah today, Shemitah's Ksafim is not even midirabbanan. I mean, there's no such thing as Shemitah's Ksafim. It doesn't exist at all. This opinion appears in the Ramah, one takes a look at the third of the Maamar Kamos. If you take a look at the second line of the Ramban, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Samach Zayin, Sif Aleph, the middle of the line, Aval Yesh Omrim, the Ein Shmita Noheges Bizman Hazeh, that there are some who maintain that there is no such thing as Shmita's Ksofim today at all, not Midarais and not Midarabanan, even though the Gemara speaks about it and the Amoraim seem to have been observing it, these Rishonim are of the opinion that it was only a Midas Chasidus, it was voluntary Shmita's Ksofim, it was not really instituted by the Chachamim. To the Gedolia Rishonim who subscribed to this view of the Baal Amor and the Ravid, that Shemitah's Ksofim doesn't exist. Therefore, forget about the writing of Prusbul, you don't even need a Prusbul, because the whole halacha doesn't exist bizman hazeh. Not only is this some obscure sheet of found tucked away in some Rishonim in Maseches Gittin, but says the Ramah v'nira she'aleim samchu b'medinos elu, she'ein nogim dim Shemitah klal bizman hazeh. Says the Ramah, he's looking around in Eastern Europe in the 1500s, and he says nobody was talking about Prusbuls, no one was giving Kol Yom Rishons about Prusbuls, nobody ever heard of this stuff, and they read about it in Parshas Re'eh, went in one ear and out the other, everyone was collecting their death the day after Rosh Hashanah. So he says, how come? Didn't they read a Pasuk Chumash? Didn't they learn Daf Yomi? Gittin Lamed Vav? So the answer is, says the Ramah, the Minhag HaOlam in many communities in Eastern Europe was to rely on the Baal Amor and the Ravid that there is no Shemitah stuff in Bizman HaZeh. The whole thing is a Chumra B'Yalma, Midas Chasidus, a Minhag, it doesn't really exist, and therefore, we don't have to be concerned with it. And the Ramah says, don't think that this was some innovative custom that started in his days in Krakow. Already the Rush, 300 years earlier, was screaming about that he saw in different communities in Europe that weren't observing the halacha, they weren't writing prusbuls, and the Rush wrote a scathing tshuva against it. It continues in the Ramah, he was screaming, shrying chai v'kayim, to try to get rid of this minig that nobody was writing prusbuls. Nobody listened to him. So Rabbanim shouldn't have Chalish Zadat. They didn't listen to Rush either. So the Rush didn't succeed and the Rabbah didn't succeed. But Baruch Hashem, in our generations, the last several generations, we've succeeded. Where the Rush failed, so in the last 100 years or so, 1500 years, we've succeeded. The Baruch Hashem, Chadash Yemenek Yikedem, that Prusbul, which we discussed, have come back onto the radar screen. Like Rova Rishonim, the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim did not accept the Ravid and the Baal Amor. The Rush and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and even the Ramah himself and all the later Poskim write that really the correct thing to do is to observe Shemitah's Ksofim. One should not negate it. One should not think it doesn't apply. It's only a Chumrah, a Minig, a Midas Chasidus. We assume Lalach that it really does apply, and one should really follow it. Alimut Chus, those people who are not yet filling out Prusbuls, I don't mean not yet in the next couple of weeks, but I'm saying those people who don't follow this Halacha, okay, so they're still stuck in the time warp of the Rush and the Ramon in back to Krakow in Spain. They're in the Middle Ages still, but we've assumed Lalacha, like the Shita Sarambam, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the later Poskim, who've maintained that one should observe Shemitah's Ksofim and one should in fact write a Prusbul properly. So now that we're all ready to go, we're all ready to roll to write a Prusbul, we have to figure out how to go about doing that. What exactly does a Prusbul mean? So we don't know all that much about the text of the Prusbul, just the very, very little that the Gemara told us before in the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, that the basic text, the basic idea of a Prusbul, is to hand over the chov, to hand over, at least symbolically, to hand over the debt to a Beis Din. So the first basic question we have to ask ourselves is, what exactly constitutes a Beis Din for these purposes? Now we know the term Beis Din appears in many different areas of halacha. We have it in capital cases, in monetary cases, and Beis Din for Taras Nedarim, and Beis Din for Geirah, so many different places where the term Beis Din appears, and it doesn't always mean the same thing. Sometimes a Beis Din is 71, sometimes a Beis Din is 23, sometimes a Beis Din is 3, sometimes a Beis Din requires authentic smicha, sometimes a Beis Din doesn't require authentic smicha. What is a Beis Din? Who is a Beis Din for the purposes of Hilchos Prusbul? So there is a cryptic statement in the Gemara where Shmuel tells us that one cannot go to just any plain Beis Din for the purposes of Prusbul. It has to be a very, very Choshev Beis Din. And Shmuel gives two examples in his day, what was considered to be a Beis Din Choshev. One was the Beis Din of Sura, and one was the Beis Din of Nahar Dor. We know these were the two primary Jewish communities in terms of yeshivas, in terms of learning in Bavel at that time. Shmuel happened to have been the Rosh Yeshiva of Nahar Dor, but his colleague Rav was the Rosh Yeshiva of Sura, so he gave equal time to the competing yeshiva. So he said either one of those two yeshivas would be acceptable to write a Prusbul in their Beis Din, but just time to go to a regular Beis in any other city, so Shmuel said, would not be acceptable. So the question is, where does that place us today? So most of us are probably not going to Sura and Nahar Dor. I think you wouldn't want to go there for many other reasons. So where does that, what does that mean practically for us? So in the fourth of the Ma'amar Makamos, we take a look at the Rosh in Maseches Gittin. Let's not forget the Rosh was a big believer in Prusbul. He was a big believer in Shemitah's Ksofim. The Rosh quotes an early tradition from Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam Zal Kosa B'Sefer HaYoshar, the Shvius Noheges B'Zman HaZeh, that Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that Shemitah does apply today, in contrast to those who disagreed. V'Hebi Raya Midachazina L'Chol Hanoa Moroi, Shmuel, Rav Nachman, Rabba, V'Abai, Rabbanan Debir Avashi, quite a illustrious list of Amoroim, Shehayu Nogin Shemitah's Ksafim B'Bavel, that they were observing the Halachas of Shemitah's Ksafim, to say this was all a Midas Chasidus, that Rabbeinu Tam held was very difficult to say. So he is assuming, like most of the Rishonim, the Shemitah's Ksafim exists, but now he comes in the bombshell. The Ein Lichtov Prusbul B'Zman HaZeh. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, you cannot write a Prusbul, so anyone wants to go home from today's Shia, that's it. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Kol Yom Rishon, at least this Shia is over. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't write a Prusbul. Why can't you write a Prusbul? She'ein on a mumchen k'rav amir ravasi. Because the Gemara gives other examples of what they did and that are acceptable to write Prusbuls besides the Beis Din of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says the Beis Din of Rav Amin and Rav Asi, that's also okay. So says Rabbeinu Tam, you know, we don't want to say that we're great Tamid Chachamim, we're not exactly in the league of Rav and Shmuel and Rav Amin and Rav Asi. We don't have a Beis Din that qualifies to write a Prusbul, so therefore we have the worst of both worlds. We're stuck with Shemitah's Ksafim, and we don't have the ability to circumvent Shemitah's Ksafim because we don't have a proper Beis Din to supervise a Prusbul. So that's the end of the story, says Rabbeinu Tam. So there is no possibility to write a Prusbul. Anyone who lent money in the last 6 years and hasn't collected it is about to lose it in a couple of weeks. And anyone who is going to refrain from lending money because Shemitah is coming will be called an Ish Bliyal, as the Torah said yesterday in Parshas Rei. So we're in a little bit of a problem according to the Rabbeinu Tam set things up. So now comes the rush and says that Baruch Hashem b'shuv chozer b'Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam backed out from this early position because of who ba'atzmo prusbul. So says Rabbeinu Tam, not only are you allowed to write a prusbul, Rabbeinu Tam himself supervised the writing of a prusbul. Ki haya omer d'lo ba'inan el abeiz din chashev shabador. He says that it does, when the Gemara says you need a Beis Din of the caliber of Rav and Shmuel, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, it doesn't mean specifically that level of learning. No one's gonna reach the level of Rav and Shmuel in our generation. What it means is like Yiftach Bedorah Kishmuel Bedorah. It means whoever is considered to be the great Rabbanim, the great Dayanim in each and every generation, so they can supervise a Prusbul. They have the authority to implement the Prusbul. You don't have to literally be holding and learning like Rav and Shmuel, but you have to be the equivalent of Rav and Shmuel in your generation. Generation in your time and place. So therefore Rabbeinu Tam, as the leader of French Jewry at the time, so he felt that he had the authority to supervise prusbuls, and in fact in his later years he did in fact write prusbuls. So we generally do not accept the early view of Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam thought that you cannot write a prusbul because we don't have the authority to write a prusbul today. That original view of Rabbeinu Tam has been rejected, since Rabbeinu Tam himself rejected it in his later years, and the second view of Rabbeinu Tam has become dominant. Comes the Rush and says that he's not even convinced that we have to even accept the second view of Rabbeinu Tam. Because even though the second view of Rabbeinu Tam is lenient in the sense that he's opening up the possibilities of writing a prusbul, it's still limiting, because it's limiting ourselves to a real Beis Din, a Beis Din Rabbeinu Tam, a Beis Din Choshev Sheba'oso Makom Ba'oso Zman. So comes the Rush and he continues a little bit further on, where the Rush says, three lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line, Elamashma, Tahani Amoroi Basroi, Leis Luhadi Shmuel, the Amalokosmina Prusbul, Elabedina, the Surva Bina Dina Hardah. The Hochi Isleil Rav Alphasal, the Lohevi Divish Shmuel. So says the Rush, who says we pass like Shmuel? Shmuel was the one who got us into trouble. He's the one who said that you can only write a Prusbul if you're really Choshev a Beis Din, and then you have to determine what constitutes a significant Beis Din. Who says we follow Shmuel? I mean, who says we follow Shmuel? So comes the Rush and says, if you look at the later Amoraim, nobody else seems to follow Shmuel. The later Amoraim were writing prusbuls, and you don't get the impression that they were only writing it in the one or two, but they did them in the entire world. And he says, the Rif, V'poisek, the Rif, when he quotes the whole Sugya prusbul, never mentions that the Beis Din you have to go to has to be a Beis Din Chashuv, which leads us to the conclusion that Shmuel was rejected. So now we have really three possibilities in terms of who qualifies, what qualifies as a Beis Din for the purposes of prusbul. Do we insist that the Beis Din has to be on par with Rav and Shmuel and therefore doesn't exist today? That was the first view of Rabbeinu Tam. Do we insist that it has to be at least the counterpart of Rav and Shmuel in the sense of in each generation it has to be the equivalent of Rav and Shmuel? That was Rabbeinu Tam in his later years, which would require of us to write a prusbul only in such an authoritative Beis Din. Or do we go the route of the Rif and the Rush and say that the whole thing doesn't exist? That you can write a prusbul on anything. Any Beis Din is good enough. What do you mean any Beis Din? Erev Rosh Hashanah, when you finish Ataras Nedarim, the same three guys that you pull together to do Ataras Nedarim with. So Shimon Rabbi said, the Yonah Mumchim, whip out your Pirzbo and write a Pirzbo for them also. So Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, that's also considered to be a Beis Din for the purposes of writing a Pirzbo. So three different opinions, La Halacha. How do we paskin Halacha L'mais and the Shaila? So this is the machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch is machmer in the Shaila. The Shulchan Aruch is machmer not like the original view of Rabbeinu Tam, but like the revamped view of Rabbeinu Tam, that you require a Beis Din Choshuv, whereas the Ramah's make, or the Ramah says that the minig, at least in the Ashkenazi communities, was to be very lenient about this. Again, let's not forget, in many Ashkenazi communities, they weren't writing Pirzbos altogether. But even within those communities that were writing Pirzbos, the Ramah writes that the custom is to be very lenient, and therefore, any Beis Din whatsoever would be acceptable. So different opinions in the Gedolei HaPoskim, reflecting the different views in the Rishonim in terms of interpreting the sugya in Maseches Gittin. How does this all play out for us, Lamaisa? So one would take the following approach. You know, after all, Shemitah, you only do Shemitah once every 7 years. Let's try to do it right. Remember, last Shemitah, so it was the year after Shemitah, the year after Motzei Rosh Hashanah, I got a call from somebody in Erev Rosh Hashanah, they want to write a Pruzbul. I said, I thought that last year was the Motzei Shemitah. They got confused. They remember last year they wrote a Pruzbul. They remember last year they did a Taras Tadarim. They remember last year they went to the mikvah. So they remembered. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. They went to the mikvah. They did a Taras Tadarim. They thought they had run a Pruzbul. So, okay, that's a new Minhagim start. A new Chumri. You gotta run a Pruzbul every year. So Pruzbul, you write only once every 7 years. So let's do it right. You have to write a Pruzbul standing on a head that should only be good according to some. Let's write a Pruzbul that Yetzel Chaladeus. Why not? So if you would ask me, I'd say, wonderful. Why should we go to three stam guys on the street for a Pruzbul? Let's go to the Beis Din Choshev. Let's find the Beis Din Choshev. We'll go to them and they'll be at the Yonim for the purposes of Pruzbul. Wonderful. Some technical problems. Imagine the madhouse scene. It doesn't have to be written on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It could be written before Erev Rosh Hashanah also, but most people aren't writing Pruzbul 6 months early. In the next couple of weeks, people are going to start writing Pruzbuls. Imagine the Beis Din Choshev. Again, you pick the Beis Din Choshev. Whatever name you want to plug into the Beis Din Choshev, okay with. Know what you think, this is not a political statement, this is just, you want to go to the Vadats in Yerushalayim, that'll be a Beis Din Choshev. Imagine, in the next couple of weeks, everybody's lining up on Rehov Strauss to try to write their Pruzbuls, because they want to go to the Beis Din Choshev Shabbat. It's not practical, it's not going to happen, it's just totally impractical. So if you hold like the Ramah, that you can go to any three guys on the street, so good, so then three guys will write your Pruzbul, another three guys will write his Pruzbul, it'll be able to be very easy, same, just as easy as Ataras Nedarim and Erev Rosh Hashanah. But if you're going to insist on Beis Din Choshev Shabbat, or Beis Din Choshev Shabbat, also Makshos Hazman, it's going to make life very difficult for the Beis Din, for sure, as well as obviously for the people who want to come and to write the Pruzbuls. So is there any way, in a sense, to have our cake and eat it? Is there any way to write a Pruzbul with a Beis Din Choshev? You know, if we want to be Yotze, those opinions in the Rishonim, that you require a real Beis Din Choshev in that location, that time and place, and yet not make it so technically impossible. So somewhat of a radical suggestion was given. Again, it wasn't suggested last Shemitah, it was suggested about 1,000 years ago, that according to some even earlier than that. Something sounds very strange. You know, we usually associate Pruzbul, a person comes to the Beis Din and they're standing in front of three rabbis and they're filling out forms and it's very technical and there's a Moshe Beis Din and everyone's sitting. It's very, the aura of the Yom HaDin. Who says the Beis Din has to be present for a Pruzbul? After all, we all know that the handing over of the chovos to the Beis Din is not being done physically anyway. It's not even really being done. There's no Moshe Shteros of the Beis Din. It's all a symbolic act. Again, Shemitah's only Dirabbanan anyway. Hey, Mamu Ve'mamru. It's just a symbolic halachic act of handing over the chovos to the Beis Din to, in a sense, circumvent the din of Shemitah that doesn't really exist in the Torah anyway today. Who says it has to be done in the presence of the Beis Din? Maybe I can write a Pruzbul writing in the Pruzbul the following text. I am hereby handing over all my chovos to the Badats, to the Beis Din Gadol in America, to whatever you pick, the Beis Din Choshev Shabbat, Samachos Hazman. I'm handing over all my chovos to that Beis Din. Now, someone has to sign on that. You can't just have a document with no signatures on it. So you're not going to bother bringing it to the Beis Din Gadol because that's going to defeat the whole purposes. But to sign a document, you don't even need a Beis Din. You need two witnesses. To have a person write his own Pruzbul. So we can write Pruzbul in 2 minutes. We can write Pruzbuls. We'll write on a piece of paper. You'll even see, they're printed out for us. So Hareni Mosek, Kolachovos, Le Beis Din Ploni, the greatest Beis Din around. And two Eidim will sign in the bottom, and Shalom Yisrael, Beis Din will never see the Pruzbul. Can you do that? Can you pull such a stunt? If you could, it would be phenomenal. Because we could be Yotzei, the Machmirim, that a Beis Din that's necessary is a Beis Din Choshev, and make life easy for everybody. So this is a major Machlokes HaRishonim, whether such a stunt works in the first place. It all revolves around one line in the Yerushalmi. There's one cryptic line in Yerushalmi. I didn't put it on the Maramakomos, but it's mamash a line in the middle of nowhere. It's a line in Masechah Shviyas where the Yerushalmi is talking about Prusbul, about Shvitas Ksafim, and Yerushalmi makes the following cryptic statement that Prusbul works afilu hein baromi, even in Rome. Prusbul's work. Huh? What does it mean? Even in Rome? Why is Rome any different than the rest of the world? Afilu hein baromi. So comes the Mordechai and he says what the Yerushalmi means is as follows. Even the Dayanim were in Rome. The Dayanim went on a cruise. It's the summertime. They went on a cruise to Italy. They're not even here. The Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, nobody's here. A guy's in Yerushalayim trying to ride a Prusbul. So the Yerushalmi says, no problem. The Dayanim don't have to be there. Afilu hein baromi. So comes the Mordechai and says, Yerushalmi is taking a stand on this issue. So we have a precedent of 1700 years old where the Yerushalmi is saying, at least according to the Mordechai's understanding, the Dayanim don't have to be present for the writing of the Prusbul, which would be a phenomenal solution for our technical problem, how to get around having a Beis Din Chashuv without bothering the Dayanim too much. The only problem is that other Rishonim, the Rad and others, say that's not what the Yerushalmi means. Afilu hein baromi, we have the wrong subject of the sentence. It's not referring to the Dayanim, it's referring to the documents. It means that I could write a Prusbul even if I don't have my documents with me. I have my documents tucked away 1,000 miles away in my safe in Rome, and I would have thought maybe you have to actually bring your documents to Beis Din, kamash malan, afilu hein baromi. If that's what the Yerushalmi means, then there is no precedent, there is no source in Shas to permit the writing of a Prusbul not in the presence of a Beis Din, which would lead us to our initial reaction that, of course, the Beis Din has to be present. So we have somewhat of an open question now. Can you pull off such a stunt? Can you write a Prusbul Shalom b'fnei Beis Din? If you can, then we could write using a Beis Din Choshev and make life easier for everybody. If you can't, so then either you got to go stand in front of the badatz for hours, or you have to rely on the mekilim on the lenient positions that any three guys is also good enough. So it's hard to have your cake and eat it now. You have to decide, are you willing to go and rely on the Mordechai's reading of the Yerushalmi? So the good news is that the Ramah is makel on this also. The Ramah is very, very makel on Shemitah's Ksafim. So the Ramah writes, yeah, the Beis Din doesn't have to be present. That's also good. So because of all these different opinions that we've mentioned, what has really emerged in the last several Shemitahs is really two different Prusbuls, two fundamentally different types of Prusbuls, each one trying to solve, in a sense, a certain problem. That one is, I guess, we'll call the conventional Prusbul, the old-style Prusbul, which was probably the practice in Europe, I mean, after the days of the Ramah, and the practice, I remember when I was younger, so it wasn't that many Shemitahs ago, 3-4 Shemitahs ago, that was the old-style Prusbul everybody wrote. You got three guys together. I remember when I was in high school, we had three Bachman Yeshiva sat down, made a Moshe Beis Din, and everyone was Moshe Chobos to each other, and he wrote down the text, and that was it. Shalom Yisrael, there was no Beis Din Chashuv, there was nothing. That was the old style, in a sense, Prusbul. So if you take a look, some of you may have in the back, there was some Prusbul printed out. And those who are interested, you can get them off the Beis Din of America's website. So if you take a look at the Shtar Prusbul, on the Hebrew one and English one, but the top version, okay, so if you take a look at the Hebrew version, Shtar Prusbul b'fnei Dayanim, the first of the two, this is an old style Prusbul form. B'faneinu tlosa beidina kechad avina, that three Dayanim are in effect writing the Shtar, saying that we were sitting as a Beis Din, bola faneinu, cloni, whatever the name of the malva, the lender would be. V'omer lanu, when he sent us the following, mosrani ani lachem, and of course the lines are left blank because the Beis Din has to fill in their names. So the Malve, the lender, says, I'm hereby handing over to you. Who are the three yous? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the three guys sitting there, Rosh Hashanah, whoever they happen to be. Hadayonim, Shibim, Up, and Ploni. Shekol, Chov, Sheesh, Li, Ben, Bishtah, Ben, Be'alpeshek, Benekos, Man, She'erza. That any chov that I have, any debt that I have, I will have the right to be able to collect. That's the basic text of the Prusbul. And in the bottom, the three Dayanim sign it. Ne'um, three names, three Dayanim, and finish. End of discussion. That's the old-style Prusbul. But, of course, the downside of this Prusbul is that this is not necessarily going to be a Beis Din Choshev unless you're willing to go stand in line by the Badatz for hours and ever Shoshanah. Comes the second style of Prusbul, Shtar Prusbul from the Edim, has a whole different text to it. The Faneinu Edim HaChasumim Ma'ata, first of all, it's not even the Dayanim who are signing it because the Dayanim are nowhere here. The Omar Lanu, the following person came to us and said as follows, Hey, well, I Edim, not Dayanim, Edim, Sheheneini Moser Kol Chov Sheyeshli, the Beis Din the America, I should be in New York. By golly, we picked the Beis Din Choshev, the Beis Din has authority. Who is this Beis Din? We spell out exactly who they are. The same Dayanim we would go to, we had a Din Torah. Halohim, the following two Rabbanim, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav Shlomo Weissman, the Beis Din of America today. Shek Benu Kozman Sheerza. If you live in Eretz Israel, so you would put in Bezin Rav Ploni, Bezin Ploni, whatever the three dayanim of the Mokom Choshev in each particular location would be. Uvanu alechatum hayom, who signs on the bottom? Two Edim. The dayanim are nowhere around, the dayanim are miles away. I feel like in Baromi, in effect, according to the, not after Rome, but that's basically what the second text of Prusbul is. So you should really be able to see both Prusbuls are acceptable. Either one of them are kosher. Each one has a plus, each one has a minus. The positive aspect of the top one is that it's done b'fnei ha-dayanim. So you don't have to rely on the afilu in Baromi kula of the Rishami. The downside of the top Prusbul is that you can't practically have a Beis Din Choshev. The positive part of the bottom Prusbul is that you have a Beis Din Choshev. The downside is that according to half the Rishonim, it's totally no good because you didn't come to Beis in the first place. So you choose which Prusbul. Everyone asks me, so Rabbi, which Prusbul did you use? So I'll tell you the truth is that last Shemitah I used one and the year before I did another. So it's a flip of a coin, which one is good. I think they're both perfectly okay. Either one of them is acceptable if it is. Then. You want to do both? Okay, you want to do both? You can do both. Then it's a fight between an Arab Rosh Hashanah, which Beis Din really gets it. I mean, do the two Prusbuls cancel each other? I don't think they cancel each other. Here's the money. Yeah, I don't know. I think either one is perfectly okay. So now we know a little bit about the role of the Beis Din in terms of Prusbul. Let's just talk about some technical issues in terms of the timing, the proper timing of the Prusbul. So it should seem pretty obvious that the Prusbul must be written before Shemitah's Ksafim takes effect. So comes the Shulchan Aruch on the 5th of the Marmakamot, in Chashem Mishpat and Simon Samach Zayin Sif Lamed, Ein Shvius Meshametes Ksafim Ela B'Sofa, that the halachas of Shemitah's Ksafim only apply at the very end of Shemitah. We just read it yesterday. Miket means the end. Miket Sheva Shanim Ta'asa Shemitah. So therefore, there's no rush to write a Prusbul. Everyone's got another good 30 days to write a Prusbul. However, you should just be aware, it's a kind of a year late for this, but there is one opinion that we've shown, and it happens to be the Shitas HaRosh, who maintains that a Prusbul must be written before Rosh Hashanah, not of Motzoi Shemitah, but before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year itself, namely you're 11 months too late for the writing of a Prusbul, according to the opinion of the Rosh. How the Rosh got to this is somewhat of a complicated cheshbon that he had based on his reading of the Pesukim, based on the Tosefta, but the Rosh was really a Daz Yochid in this, who maintained that a Prusbul must be written before Shemitah begins, rather than at the end of Shemitah. We do not accept this Rosh Lahalacha. Practice is not like this opinion of the Rosh. We paskin, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, like Rova Rishonim, that a Prusbul can be written even Lechetchila, as long as it's written before Rosh Hashanah. There are some who have a custom to be Choshish for the Rosh. There are some who did have a practice to actually write a Prusbul last year. But if you didn't, don't worry about it. I personally didn't. And would it work? Well, it would only work if you didn't subsequently lend money. During any money that you lend after the Prusbul, you would have to write a second Prusbul. So according to the Rosh, last year's Prusbul would only cover those loans from before last year. So even according to the Rosh, you may have to write another one.
But you're not writing a Prusbul either. But according to our sheet, that we hold at
the end of this year. But last year's Prusbul would have been good for any loan that took place before last year. Any loan you any time I lend money after I wrote a Prusbul, so that's not covered by the Prusbul. No, it's because it only covers those debts that preceded the Prusbul. The idea of a Prusbul is I'm handing over the debts that I already have to somebody. I'm handing it to the Beis Din. I don't have the debt yet. I didn't lend you the money yet. I can't hand it over. So our custom is not like this Rosh. Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that he used to follow his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, around Europe in all his travels. And he writes, he doesn't remember his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, for writing such a Prusbul, so he thinks that you don't have to write such a Prusbul. That's what most people have such a custom, although there are some who do. There are some individuals who did in fact write a Prusbul last year. There is something interesting, somewhat of a modern-day shaila that we have in terms of the timing of a Prusbul. Imagine the following scenario. You know, there's some people who procrastinate, you know, the people who are always standing by the post office at 11:59 on April 15th, you know, to get in their income tax. So the guys who don't bother writing Prusbuls till the last second. So a guy comes to shul there, Rosh Hashanah, yeah, he's still downloading his Prusbul forms and he's getting ready to roll. He comes to shul, Slichas is very long, the Tarsa Dharma is long, he wants to get the mikveh before it gets, you know, too crowded. So he's finishing tumbling, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, good as time as any to write a Prusbul. So he convenes his Beis Din and he's ready to write a Prusbul and it dawns on him that last month he lent a significant amount of money to someone who happens to be living in Eretz Yisrael. He may have a problem on his hands because it's now 8 o'clock at night. His love is celebrating as he's eating his tapuach mitvash because he just realizes that he doesn't have to pay his $10 million debt back. to his counterpart who's still in the mikvah in Erev Hashanah in the morning. So what is the halacha? The Shemitah's Ksafim follow, in a sense, the Malveh, does it follow the Loveh? Who's Erev Rosh Hashanah, is it? You know, in the olden days, this was a moot shaila, even if people weren't traveling like this. But today's world, this is a very real shaila. So the shaila was presented to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he writes, conclusively, that he's not sure. He says, it's Sarchim. Said he doesn't know what the din is. He said, we don't have any precedents. So we're going to raya from Rishalmi and Gemara at the Septa. He doesn't have a raya. He says, it's Sarchim, and he doesn't know what the din is. Therefore, it's strongly recommended. If you happen to know that you lend somebody money in any place that's further east of New York, please make sure to write your principal, at the appropriate time. Don't wait until the last minute. Sometimes it's a very good idea not to wait for the last minute for the following reason, that people tend to forget. What do you do? A person comes to Shul Erev Rosh Hashanah, he's in the middle of Chazas HaShatz. Remembers, by golly, I'm supposed to write a principle. What do you do at that point? So it depends what kind of a shul you daven in. If you live in a shul where they daven mincha after shkia, so you can say goodbye to your loans. If you live in a shul that's not quite shkia yet, but to go find a pen and to go start writing principles, do you have any eitzah? So there is a machlokis in the Rishonim about, can you write a principle without writing it? Can you have a principle ba'al peh? Can you have an oral principle? So this is a big machlokas in the Rishonim. There is a Gemara that talks about this in Masechet Gittin, but it's unclear what the Gemara says. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim and a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So if you take a look at the sixth of the Marmikamos, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simon Samach Zayin Sif Chof, Tamidei Chachamim Shehugu Zeh Umasa Devar V'Tamideim V'Tamidim. If you have Tamidei Chacham who lent money to each other, and now they, instead of writing a prosbo, they just orally authorize a prosbo. V'Amar Mosrani Lachem Shekol Chov Sheyeshu Shegbenu Kozman She'eretze Eino Tzach Lichtof prosbo. That Tamidei Chacham don't have to write prosbos as long as they do it ba'al peh. Why? V'Pnei Shehin Yodim Sheshmidus Ksav Mizman Hazem Edivreim V'Dvam Bilvadi Nirchais. But Talmid Chacham understands that the whole Shemitah is only midrabbanim, that you don't really need a prosbul midarais anyway. So the Chacham gave a certain cool leniency only for Talmid Chachamim to rely on, in a sense, an oral prosbul. But someone who doesn't qualify to be a Talmid Chacham, far be it for me to define who's called a Talmid Chacham for these purposes, if a person wouldn't meet these criteria, so then the Shulchan Aruch implies that one would not be permitted to rely on this leniency. Nevertheless, the Ramah writes, V'yeshomim, like other Yeshomim, the chol adam nami yuchalom adavar ba'al peh lifnei beis din, umahani v'ein tzarech prosbul. The Ramah says, nah, you don't even need a written prosbul meikra din. Anybody can rely on this. So we try lechatchila not to rely on this. We try lechatchila to insist on having a written prosbul, but b'shas adchak, the poskim say, if you're stuck, guys, mamash erev Rosh Hashanah, you're standing in shul b'chazas hashatz, so after chazas hashatz is over, can't talk to chazas hashatz, so after chazas hashatz is over, assuming it's not shkia yet, then you could pull three guys over to the side and say, harini moslechem kocho shi'eshti, and breathe a sigh of relief. So if you can get in those words, the magic words, even if you can't actually write it, so b'shas adchak will be making, that's also considered to be a quote-unquote a good prosbul. But again, lechatchila one should not rely on this. Therefore, it's a good idea to try to write a prosbul early. Not too early, though. The reason why it's not a good idea to write a prosbul too early, as we mentioned before, it's not going to cover any debts that are going to be lent out after the prosbul is written. So you want to, you know, play it cautiously. You know, pretty close to Rosh Hashanah, you want to write it, but not too late. It's important to note, because of this halacha, that a prosbul is only effective on those loans that preceded the prosbul and not on those which followed the prosbul, that the dating of the prosbul is absolutely critical. And if one dates the prosbul incorrectly, that can disqualify the entire prosbul, depending on how bad the prosbul was misdated. If the error was against you, that's okay. You can lose whatever money you want. But if the error is going to affect the other person, that's going to be a problem. What that means is as follows, that if you take a look back to the fifth of the Marmakomos, in the second half of that Marmakom, Sif Lamed Beis, the Shekhinah quotes from the Mishnah in Shviyas, Prusbul ha-mukdam kashev ha-me'uchat posel. If you predated a prosbul, then it's okay. Because if you think about it, if you wrote the wrong date, you wrote an earlier date, you only ruined it for yourself, because Beis Din will not be able to collect using this prosbul from any loan that took place after the date on the prosbul itself. So you blew it. You lost the opportunity to collect a certain amount of loans that may have taken place afterwards. But a prosbul ha-me'uchar, if you post-dated the prosbul, then you're doing something incorrect. You're doing an avla to the lofeh, because you're taking money away from him. You're using an incorrect prosbul that's not really authorized to collect money from him. And therefore, a prosbul which is a me'uchar is absolutely possible. So therefore, one should be careful. One time, I think it was two Shemitahs ago, I'm not mistaken, somebody wrote a prosbul and they showed me the prosbul and I saw it was the wrong date on it. So I said to them, that is a prosbul ha-me'uchar, and you have to rip it up and start over again, because the Mishnah says the Feirish, that it's not acceptable. So one just has to be careful. When you write a pruzbo, make sure you got the right Hebrew date, make sure you got the correct the timing on it. It shouldn't be a question of a pruzbo milcha.
We're making this into obviously a fiction to a certain extent, but let's say I owe you money,
very good, excellent. Very good. So under normal circumstances, one would have expected that the Malbed has to produce the Prusbol, otherwise he can't collect. So the Gemara says that the Malbed doesn't have to. The Malbed can say Prusbol Hoyli Benevad. He has a taina and days, and he can claim in days, and I had a Prusbol and I got lost. Why did he have such a claim? Normally, Hamotzim Echavel of Araya. The Gemara says that Lo Shafik Inish Ater V'Achli Sura. It's so easy to write a Prusbol. So why would the person not have written a Prusbol? It's inconceivable that he didn't write a Prusbol. It's so easy to write it. Therefore, if he says Hayali V'Nevad, he is in fact believed. If the Malve starts to fump Kabez and says, okay, let's see a Prusbol, and he says, Prusbol. I missed that Kol Yom Rishon Shia. So then, it's not got a problem. Then in the Chanami, Bezim will not collect the loan.
When we gather people together to make a Bezim, do they really have to remember that you did this?
No, as long as I know that I did a Prusbol, I have a right to come to Bezim and collect it. If Bezim asks me, where's my Prusbol? I'll say, Prusbol, I'll leave it now, but if I can't produce it, I'll say, Asisi Be'al Peh. So the Malva has the upper hand in terms of a Prusbol. Let money on the same day that he wrote the Prusbol, I think that may be a problem because we can't tell since we don't write hours in the Shtar, so we don't really know which came first. So that would be like that may be a shot of a Suffolk Mumma, maybe a Motzah Chavel of Araya. That would be a problematic Prusbol. Probably shouldn't do that. Right. What if a person really didn't write a Prusbol? Bottom line is he forgot. He really, really, honest to goodness, didn't write a Prusbol. And now it comes after Rosh Hashanah, he wants to collect. So we say, tough. Go find the Rive in the Balamor to save you, but we paskin that we're not gonna collect this loan for you. We're not gonna let you go and demand the loan. So where does this place the Lova? So the Lova has got $10,000 in his pocket. That's where it places him. Not so fast. The Gemara says that the correct thing to do for the Lova is to actually come to the Malva and say, I want to return the money to you as a gift. That's what the Lova is supposed to say. Now, at that point, the Malva is supposed to respond. This is all this is the text of the drama that's supposed to unfold here. The Malva is supposed to say, Mishamitani, no, Vized Devar HaShmita, I'm hereby declaring that it's Shmita, and you don't have to pay me. Now, what's the Lova's next line? So, is his next line, thank you very much, and or is his next line supposed to be, Afal Pichein, even though I don't have to, I still want to pay you back. So the Gemara says that is supposed to be his next line, and the Gemara says that you're allowed to do things, not to actually force him to say that line, but to make him very uncomfortable, at least the way some Rishonim read the Gemara. You can give him a dirty face, you can, stick your tongue out, you can do whatever you want. You can't go after him in Beis Din, because at the end of the day, he's really putter. But you can make the Lova feel like he's being not really living up to a higher ethical and moral standard for not actually returning the loan. But in terms of forcing him, in terms of teeth, in terms of actually collecting the loan, well, you go, Sister Rebbe Yisachar, you didn't write a Prusbol, so technically speaking, you are not actually entitled to the money. So it does behoove the Lova to pay back anyway, but in terms of Choshen Mishma, in terms of Dini Mamanis, we would not be able to enforce it. But the Chacham, based on that, the Gemara has asked that question. The Gemara talks about Hefker Bez and Hefker in the beginning of the Sikh. Good. Just for the next couple of minutes, I just want to speak about other possible ways, other types of debts that may not actually be subject to Shmitas Ksafim in the first place. We're talking about a regular standard loan that the halachas of Shmitas Ksafim apply to, and you have to write a prusbol if you want to get around the dinim of Shmitas Ksafim. There are other types of loans and other types of debts that may not even be subject to Shmitas Ksafim in the first place. So there is a sugya on the 7th of the Mar Mekomot, so the sugya Maseches Makos, the Amar Avi and Gimel Amidays, Amar Avi the Mashmuel, Hamalvis Chaver le Eseshonim. What if I lend you money and there's a time set to the loan? I'm not going to collect the loan for another 10 years, and of course the 10 years is obviously going to be after the Shemitah. Ein Shmias Misham Toso. So then Shemitah doesn't apply to such a loan. Afagav the Oslo de Lo Yigos, Hashtamil of Karina Be Lo Yigos. The Torah says that the Malva is not allowed to collect the loan. He's not allowed to go after the Lova after the Shemitah. Here, even if the Malva would want to go after the loan, he can't because the time collection hasn't come yet. So the Shemitah only cancels those loans, those debts, where the collection time has already passed. If it's le'acher es hashanim, then Shemitah wouldn't apply. There is a machlokas in the Gemara about this very halacha, and most of the Rishonim paskin, like we just said, and that's how we accept the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that a loan that has a set time to it, and the set time has not yet arrived, is in fact not subject to Shemitah k'safim, and therefore wouldn't require a prosbul in the first place. There are other types of loans that are also not subject to Prusbul. The Gemara has a complicated discussion about a Malva la Mashkon. If I lend you money and I take collateral, so that under certain circumstances, that type of loan is not subject to Shemitah, because when I took a collateral, I took a Mashkon from you, I've in effect collected the loan already. So I'm not allowed to demand to collect the loan after Shemitah, but I have the loan. I already holding on to your jewelry. I'm already holding on to your Mashkon. So there are details in terms of that halacha, in terms of what are the parameters of that. Therefore, if a person would have such a shaila, I would strongly recommend to write a Prusbul anyway, because Malva la Mashkon doesn't always work, depending on the details. One can also, in a sense, circumvent the halachas of Shemitah. If a person makes a condition at the time of the loan, I hereby stipulate with the loave, I'm lending you the money on the condition that we're not going to observe the halachas of Shemitah. So even though at first glance it sounds like we're making a condition to uproot a mitzvah in the Torah, it's what we call davar shebamamon, since it's in the monetary area of halacha, we can make such a condition. In fact, the Ritva in Maseches Matos asks, why did Hillel have to institute Prusbul? Why didn't you just tell everybody to do that? So one of the reasons he says, people forget. They're going to go, it's 4 years before Rosh Hashanah. Who's going to remember to make such a tanai? So it's not a good idea. But in theory, that would have worked, says the Ritva. If people would have just made such conditions, they could have gotten around. That's when the post came right. Let's say I wrote a Prusbul already, and now somebody comes running to me Erev Rosh Hashanah for money. I wrote my Prusbul yesterday. So for me not to lend them the money now, so that would be an Aveira of Penya Davon Vokab Liyal. To lend them the money, to go write another Prusbul, so it's a Tirch, I don't want to be bothered with that Erev Rosh Hashanah. So what should I do? So I can do one of two things. Either I can lend them the money and say the loan is not payable for another 2 weeks, so it's lohi gi hazman, so therefore Shemitah doesn't apply altogether. Or I can make a condition and say, I'm lending you the money on the condition that we're not going to observe the halachas of Shemitah on this particular loan. So those possible eitzes would be acceptable. If one wants to take that eitzah of a tanai, one has to be careful to word the tanai properly. Again, beyond the scope right now, whenever we deal with the halachas of making conditions and stipulations, there are specifics in halacha how to word that. There are some who actually have a practice that after they write a prusbul, they lend people money. Dafka, not that much money, lend the guy a quarter to fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim. They daft want to have a little bit of a share in the mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim. There is such a practice that some people have. It's not recorded in the Shulchan Aruch, but there is such a custom that exists. There are other types of loans that are also not subject to Shemitah on the 8th of the Marmakomos. Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Gittin Lamed Zayin, Yisomen Ein Tzrichen Prusbul. V'chein Tani Rami Bachami, Yisomen Ein Tzrichen Prusbul. The Rabban Gamliel Beis Dino, Avien Shel Yisomen. If you have Yisomen, you have orphans who are being supervised by the Beis Din. Beis Din has set up an apotropos, set up somebody as a guardian for their estate. So if they lent money out of their estate, they do not require a Prusbul. And the reason is very simple. The Gemara says that the whole idea of a Prusbul is handing over the loan to Beis Din. Here the Beis Din is in charge. Here the Beis Din is literally in charge. It's better than a Prusbul. So when you have money that's being supervised by Beis Din, there is no need for a Prusbul. Most of the Rishonim assume, that's what we generally know, that this is true for tzedakah money as well. So if you have a Gemach, so Gemach money, tzedakah money that's being lent out to people, so the tzedakah, the Gemach, would not be required to take out a Prusbul, because this is like Moshe Yisomim. It's basically the Beis Din, the Rabbanim in town, are in a certain sense supervising the distribution of these funds, and therefore it's as if a Prusbul was already written. So therefore tzedakah organizations, as an organization proper, would not be required to write a Prusbul. A person has his own personal money that he's lending to an ani, that of course would require a Prusbul, but if it's a tzedakah type of an organization that's under the jurisdiction of a type of a board similar to a Beis Din, so then the halacha would be that no Prusbul is required. So everything we've been talking until now has been revolving around about loans. What if it's not a loan in the first place? What if somebody owes me money for another reason? Let's say I work for the person. He hasn't paid me yet because I painted his house. I mowed his lawn. He owes me money. Well, let's say I bought something in a store and I haven't paid up yet. So are those types of debts subject to Shemitah Ksafim altogether? So this is a big machlokas, actually, in the Mishnah. It's machlokas. Machlokas have we shown him what exactly the conclusion of the entire sugya is. But practically speaking, the answer is that most probably yes. That most of the time, these types of debts would be subject to Shemitah itself and would require approval for the following reason. The Mishnah says that even if the debt itself didn't come about through an actual loan, if you do what's called Zekifas Milveh, if you transform it into a loan, then it takes on the status of a loan. How do you do that? By transforming it into a loan. So some Rishonim say, if you send a bill to the person, you tell them that you got to pay me by now. So that's considered to be, you've turned it into, it's like a loan, it's like a debt at this point. Other Rishonim say, even if you haven't actually sent the bill, if you've written up a bill, if you tally it up that, I mowed his lawn 10 times, now he owes me $500, so even if I didn't actually mow him, I didn't actually inform him, that may also constitute a Zekifas Milveh. Therefore, in all these kinds of things, if a person has, say, a doctor sends out bills to Jewish patients, so then that would be a problem. You would have to write out a Prusbul. You only run Prusbul for all your loans, you would have to write out a Prusbul. There is one last halacha in terms of a chusprusbol that one has to be aware of. When one writes a prusbol, the lova, the person who is borrowing the money, has to own karka, has to own land. The smallest amount of land, not a significant amount, the smallest amount of land. There are technical reasons in the Rishonim why that's true. So 99.99% of the people in the world own land, either literally or rent land. Renting land is also good enough. Most people either live in the house, that they own the house, or they're renting a house, or they own a kever somewhere, they own something. Most people have some karka, some real estate somewhere in the world, so that's usually not going to be a big problem. You run into this problem with the Yeshiva Bachar, they start writing prusbols one to another. Guy doesn't own a house, doesn't rent a house, doesn't have anything. So how do you write a prusbol? So the halach is, we have to give him a little bit of land. So you have to be machna, the malva, days, and someone's got to give him a little bit of land to the lova. You know, we zachan on shlo b'fana, even without his knowledge, we give him a little bit of land so that Shemitah's Ksafen should be accepted, so that prusbol would be acceptable. So according to many Rishonim, it wouldn't apply. If Shemitah would be Midaraisa, the whole thing wouldn't apply. It's Machlokes in the Rishonim. So just one moment, just in terms of, just a thought of Machshava, just to conclude the Sugya of Shemitah Ksafim. The Torah uses a very strong, very harsh phrase in describing the chait of a person who doesn't lend money before the Shemitah year. Dava im levavcha b'li ya'al. B'li ya'al, first of all, it's a strange term. The etymology of b'li ya'al is unclear. But it's interesting that term b'li ya'al appears another place in the Chumash, in the same parasha. We read it twice yesterday. It appears just a few aliyahs earlier in the context of Ir Nidachas. The people who are the ones who are the Mesis of Madiach, the people who cause everyone to do Avodah Zarah, are called the Anshei Blei B'li Ya'al Mir Kirbecha. That's strange. The Torah is clearly catching our attention that the term, it's the Chepet of Bakoris, is it anywhere else in Chumash? B'li Ya'al, it's a Nach phrase, B'li Ya'al, appears in Navi. I don't remember it anywhere else in the Chumash. Two times, B'li Ya'al, by the Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and by the person who doesn't lend money, what's the connection between the two? The Rashi quotes from Chazal, B'li Ya'al means Sheparkul Ol Me'alehem. Like B'li, Ol, it's like a play on the word. They don't have a yoke. They've removed the yoke of heaven from their shoulders. So I understand the Ovid of Avodah Zarah. That's called removing the yoke of heaven, alright? Person who doesn't lend money in the Shnas HaShemitah, that's called Prikas Ol. He's called a Chalil and Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He's called a Porek Olo Shamakam. So I think the answer is, based on the context, here we're talking about the end of the Shnas HaShemitah. What was the purpose of the entire Shemitah year? The whole year of Shemitah, the person let his land lie fallow. He didn't work his land. Why? Ki Shabbos Lashem, v'shavsa aretz, ki liha aretz. To teach the person the message, to get across the lesson that he's not the Baalim in this world. He doesn't own the world. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of all his monetary possessions. Here you have a guy in Erev Rosh Hashanah of the Shnas HaShemitah, and he still didn't get it. He still didn't realize, and what does he do? The first day after Rosh Hashanah, he goes and asks for the money. The Torah just screams, no, and he goes and asks for the money. The day before Rosh Hashanah, someone comes for a loan. I'm not going to lend you the loan. I'm not going to give you the money because I don't want to lose it. If somebody believes that the Rabbanu Shalom is the one who controls the world, if someone has the Ol Malchus Shemayim, in Kesef Talvas Amri, you lend the guy the money even a minute before Rosh Hashanah. Ah, you lose the money? Mizonosav Shalodim Ketsuvulam Rosh Hashanah Rad Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back more than fivefold over. The person who withhold the loan on Erev Rosh Hashanah because Karvash Nasa Shevash Nasa Shemitah is the Ovid of Arizara. He's the Porik Ovel Shel Mokom. He missed the boat of Shemitah. So really the grand finale, the Machmapatish of the Shemitah year, a whole year that's dedicated towards Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, reaches its the crescendo with the Shemitah's Ksof, Miket Shev, Shonim Tasa Shemitah. So even though, yes, we live at a time when Shemitah is the Rabbanan, and we have Prusbol and Takvandis and Eitzes, and it's true. It's all true. Okay, so we live with the Takvandis of Ulazokin, but at least the Musa Haskel of Shemitah's Ksofim to remember that the Mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim teaches us, it indicates to us that even on our possessions, ultimately we're not the Baalim, everything is always, is ultimately Shabbos L'Hashem.